everybody. Welcome to another episode of This Conversation Rocks. As always, this is Diane.
And hey, it's Todd in Los Angeles, and happy 4th of July.
Don't edit that out. I'm sorry, I just can't help myself.
What is it, anti-4th or anti-fireworks or anti-foolishness that goes with fireworks?
All three Fs. I'm good with that. I do have to say the thing that really kills me the most are the fireworks. You know, just all of the critters that we have and such high fire risk in our area. It stresses me out.
Yep, so. I'm listening to a small war zone outside as we record.
And for those who didn't know, gosh, how long has it been since you guys have seen rain?
months.
And for those who didn't realize it here, we are the driest Alaska has ever been. I mean, we're getting rain right now, but that's nothing. So
global warming, how is that?
So global warming up here is so great that we're having these amazing summers, aside from a little bit of rain tonight. And Chris Hayes on MSNBC actually just did part of his global warming special in Barrow, Alaska, because we've got the thinnest, smallest ice shelf in recorded history.
Right.
Yeah. Global warming is great.
Next year, the Iditarod will be on 4x4s, right?
Right. I mean, we might as well, right? Most people spend most of their training season on ATVs or four-wheelers.
Yep.
You know, anyway, so we might as well just run the whole race on four-wheelers. All right. Well, we're off to a gang-busting start, aren't we?
Okay, and so, you know, and look for a future episode dedicated to fucking up this planet.
Yeah, no kidding. And the special guest star is going to be Jim Inhofe. I still think he's a jackass.
Yep. Absolutely. And then also coming soon to a podcast near you, Hillbilly Heroin.
Right. And coming soon to a podcast empire near you, the first episode of The Word, which is a podcast that Todd and I just started about the AMC show Preacher.
So if you're a big fan of us, check it out.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. If you're a big fan of Preacher.
There you go. So tonight we said we're going to talk Brexit. We're going to save that for the latter, probably third of the show, but you want to talk about what people are fondly calling Trexit, or Trump exit, or no Trump, or Trump.
I want to talk about Trump's complete failure to raise campaign funds and what this really means.
Okay, I'm good with that. My Shiba Inu apparently is too.
Excellent. Because, you know, the Clinton campaign raised $43 million in June. We have not seen Trump's numbers, but they will not be anywhere near that, most likely.
Oh, that's right, because the last numbers we saw were actually the May numbers.
Right. And we went into June with Trump with about $1 million in the bank.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
I was thinking we were talking about those numbers. I had totally spaced that those were old numbers.
Yeah. And so, at this point, Hillary Clinton has raised something like $240 million, more or less, overall.
Uh-huh.
And $90 million of that has gone to the Democratic National Committee for downstream races.
Sure.
I don't know exactly how much Trump has raised, but it's far less, and the amount raised for the Republican National Committee is zero.
Okay, so another question I have is, do we remember how much money he loaned, quote, loaned his campaign?
$50 million, but that's primary money, so, because he just forgave the loans.
Okay.
Which means, or actually, he just made good on the loans, I forget exactly, but it doesn't do anything, right? He can't use all that money. All he's doing is basically paying off those loans back to himself or whatever.
So basically, nothing is left from the primaries.
Right, right. Nothing is left from the primaries. And nothing is coming in because big money doesn't want to give to this guy because until now, it wasn't clear that he wouldn't just use that money to pay himself back because of those primary loans.
Right.
And now, it's a bad bet. Why would you give money to a guy who's going to lose? And let's be clear, right now, everything says he's going to lose. Every poll has him losing between 2 and 12%.
Well, so I want you to bring up 538 because I was pretty impressed with the numbers from 538 the other night.
Well, Nate, our good friend, our good personal friend, Nate over at 538.
Right, Nate Silver, who listens religiously to this podcast.
The guy most famous for calling both the 2012 and the 2008 presidential Senate and House races. He got all over those two cycles, he got all except one or two right. So his stats are pretty good. His algorithms work. But yeah, he's been looking at it, and right now 538 is basically saying that it is a 79% likelihood that Clinton will win.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, we are both really honest about not being uber excited that Hillary Clinton is our likely candidate, but
honestly, yeah, you know, this is the funny thing, right? It's like I'm giving her a pass on everything because Trump is so bad, right?
I know, right? I mean, I've got to admit, I am too. I got into an argument with a guy on Facebook the other night, you know, I swore I wouldn't get in another argument on Facebook, but I still fall into the trap from time to time.
And stop this guy, giving a fuck.
I know, right? This guy was like, I was actually responding to a friend of mine, and we were talking about how, you know, the DNC just doesn't get it. Wooing the Bernie supporters is more than just saying Trump is really scary. You know, because there are a lot of Bernie supporters who are Bernie or bust.
Right.
Take it as you want to, but we were talking basically about how they have completely missed the narrative from the Sanders campaign. And they continue to. But this guy jumped in and he was basically like, you can take your Bernie or bust and shove it because you're voting for evil. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You don't know me. Knock it off. I'm sick of having people who are more holier than thou progressives than I am waggle their finger in front of my face. Yeah, Trump is scary, and that matters.
It matters so much. Let's talk about why it matters.
The Supreme Court, which rendered some of the most stunning decisions in decades last week.
Yep, exactly. And if we win the presidency, which is to say the slightly moderate left.
I still say moderate Republican, but go ahead.
We're going to get to a point, one, right out of the gate, right? But, you know, what is it? Three more could go this over the next 4 to 8 years?
You know, right. So let's look realistically. I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg, possibly Kennedy, Clarence Thomas, and, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name. He's actually one of our guys. Totally blanking on his name, but there's another justice who's kind of up there in age. So, right. And you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg had colon cancer, so she's not the most healthy person in the world.
Right. You know, but yeah, the point is that we would be able to.
I would say have a liberal court to four. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so potentially we can have a liberal court that will run the rest of our lifetime.
Yes. And when you look at the abortion decision, when you look at the decision against Texas. People have to stop and think. We had an 8-justice court, and it went 5-3. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we could have potentially been looking, let's say this is a decision that happened a couple years down the road, into another Democratic presidency. We could potentially have been looking at, like, 7-2.
Right.
And that may be the future of the court if we get our shit together and win.
Right. So we probably shouldn't say that too loudly because the rally on this one issue and fuck
yeah,
us.
Right. Donald Trump took 3 days to respond to that ruling. 3 days.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I am not a Republican. I'm not a fan of most Republicans, and you know that I don't want to see them win. But someone who was a candidate worth his or her salt would have jumped on that right away.
Mm. Well, we'll talk about Trump the candidate here in a second.
Okay, sorry. So you wanted to get to the point of money, which I kind of dragged you away from.
Right, because here's the thing. the Democrats only need to pick up, assuming that they win the presidency, they only need to pick up four in the Senate. There are only six Senate seats that for the Democrats that are up this time, right? Four of them are solid, right? California and a couple others. Totally solid. Nevada, which we're totally going to lose because Harry Reid is retiring finally. Guess what? Everybody's okay that we're going to lose Nevada. Colorado, we just picked up because Colorado fucked themselves on the Republican side and put up some crazy...
He was a teabagger, yeah.
Teabagger. Crackpot teabagger who basically is going to hand that one to the Democrat. So we're holding five of our six, which means we only need to pick up five. And they've got like 18 in play, and a lot of them are in trouble. And this is where the money thing comes in.
Exactly.
Without the money from the presidential being pushed down, there's not nearly enough money to go around. This becomes even more of a concern for the Republicans on the House side. But again, going back to we win the Senate, then we appoint Supreme Court justices who then overturn the gerrymandering, which then means the House will fall back to the Democrats within, 6 years.
What, you mean we actually, would fairly represent states and their diversity?
I would say it that way, yes. I would say it that way. I know that Texas would not say it that way. Texas would say that we are somehow rigging the system to overrepresent brown people.
Guess what? Brown people are the majority.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Texas. Not sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is what's shaping up to happen this time around, right? Like, everything we've been losing since 1994 is actually in our grasp, right? Now here's the moment of cold water in the face, right? Also, according to Nate Silver, the last time somebody had a presidential lead like this and blew it was Dukakis.
And in what month, remind me, when did Dukakis blow it? How far in were we?
He blew it in the last couple of months. I don't remember now. But...
So we've still got plenty of time to blow it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And
we're talking about the Democrats who have been snatching defeat from the jaws of victory fucking ever.
And I've just got to say a couple of things. You know, I've still got friends who are convinced that Hillary Clinton is going to be indicted because of her emails. It's looking less and less likely, but I still have friends who are convinced of that.
Yeah.
And...
not entirely sure that she shouldn't be, but...
Bill Clinton is a fucking loose cannon.
Yeah.
Why do you board the plane of someone who's dealing with your wife's FBI files right now?
Because he's Bill fucking Clinton.
Oh my God, it just looks so bad. I mean, I try not to take on too much mainstream media because it can make you sick, but they're, they're right, man. Saying that the optics of Bill Clinton kind of forcing his way into a conversation with Loretta Lynch while she's presiding over the whole email thing, not pretty.
Exactly, but Bill Clinton's been doing stupid shit now this entire
cycle. For several months, yeah.
So yeah, we're not out of the woods yet, boys and girls, but there is hope, and if we can keep the Clintons from fucking this up, we're going to win big. And by we, I mean all of us. The United States. The world. Everybody. Yeah.
We are terrifying to other countries right now, and not for the right reasons.
Right. We could stop being terrifying for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know?
So in the vein of Let's Talk Donald, I kind of made a list of things that have been challenging for Donald over the last several weeks.
Where do you want to start with that?
Where do I want to start? Well, so since we're talking down ballot races, and since we're talking about, the support of the Republican Party for their candidate, I actually am amazed and amused and horrified by the continued attempt to support Donald Trump without actually saying why they support Donald Trump. Mitch McConnell couldn't do it recently, excuse me. And Tom Cotton was on Meet the Press today, and Chuck Todd asked him 3 times to explain why he supports Trump, to explain his support for Trump, and he could not articulate it. And he finally said, well, you know, Donald Trump is going to have to speak for himself.
Well, and so in the vein of speaking for himself, apparently Donald Trump is lining up his family, sports figures, and business leaders to fill speaking slots at the national convention later this month because Republican leaders refuse to get behind him.
And there are many Republicans who are going to be noticeably absent in Cleveland.
Yeah.
But, I will say that there is a contingent of Trump supporters who were reported on today who say that they're going to be carrying live weapons to the convention. So I guess it's going to be okay. I mean, Ivanka will be there and lots of guns will be there, so.
Outstanding.
I know. I mean, that scares me, quite honestly. I can be facetious about it, but to think about a bunch of armed Trump delegates. And this one woman was
what
actually...
What could go wrong?
Right. Well, this one woman was actually going on today about how she was kind of reveling in the thought of people not knowing whether or not she and her husband will be concealed carrying, but, you know, reveling in the fact that they will be and people just won't know. I know. So, yeah,
I don't know. Does your gun come with a vibrator?
I'm thinking it must.
Maybe, right?
Smith & Wesson endorses Duracell Double D.
So, yeah, apparently, let's see if we got... I am not attending, said South Carolina Representative Trey Gowdy, who was overseeing the was overseeing the Benghazi thing.
That slimy little fucker isn't going. I can't believe that.
Mark Sanford's not going.
The Bushes also, quite famously aren't going.
Right.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Mitt Romney and John McCain are not going.
Good for John McCain for finally growing a pair. God. Susan Collins has actually hinted that she might vote for Hillary Clinton. Republican of Maine.
Yeah, Kasich is not going to be at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's in Ohio, right?
Oh, that's the cut direct.
Yeah, so anyway, so I mean, we got that going on, so that should be good. So he's going to fill it with more winning, right? Winners.
Right.
Wonderful winning.
So another winning thing about his campaign this week, and I just cackled when I saw this article. There is a GOP operative who has worked in several other campaigns. He worked for Cheney, he worked for Gingrich, he was a person who was pretty active in Paul Wolfowitz's image and managing Paul Wolfowitz during the Bush war on Iraq. His name is Kevin Kellums, in case I didn't say it. He was hired to basically track and rally Trump surrogates.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the campaign for 3 weeks and quit. He just quit this week, and he said, well, it was an interesting experience. That's the only thing he will say publicly about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on. It's just been crazy. The day that Elie Wiesel dies, he fucking tweets that crazy anti-Semitism that you actually, I think you posted it to our page already.
Yeah, that was awesome, right? Did you get the whole backstory on that?
I didn't. I was so disgusted. But freaking Elie Wiesel, who was put in Auschwitz as a teenager and who wrote about it and has fought for human rights for his entire life, dies, and Donald Trump sends out this anti-Semitic tweet the same day.
So the tweet that we're referring to was an image, obviously Photoshop image, background of just money, Hillary Clinton's face on it, and says, history made, and then in this six pointed Star of David, this red Star of David, it says, most corrupt candidate ever. It turns out, and then after, you know.
Oh, I think I know backlash, where you're going. Yeah.
You know, and it was, as you expected, backlash in 3, 2, 1. They deleted the tweet, reposted it, but with a red circle instead of the Star of David. But turns out that that image actually has been out there for a couple weeks already, being put forth in a Twitter channel by a well-known neo-Nazi
yes,
organization.
I did see that.
So what I would like to ask Mr. Trump is not whether or not he thought it was racist, because he's too fucking stupid. But why exactly are your people following neo-Nazi Twitter channels?
Good point.
Yeah, so we had that, of course. And then also this week in the Donald news, Donald picking a high-profile fight with the National Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, I missed that one entirely. Because, go ahead.
Because they disagree with his position on free trade agreements. And I'm not saying whether or not free trade agreements are good or bad, right? That's a whole different podcast that we should do at some point.
I was going to say, we probably will do at some point.
But basically, who makes up the National Chamber of Commerce? In fact, you know, even the local Chamber of Commerce, right? Mostly moderate Republican business people, right? So, yeah, good. Go ahead and start a fight with what's left of the moderate wing of the
right.
Republican Party. We're totally behind you on that. Have a nice day. Also, let's see, what else did he do? There was something else.
Well, he sent out tons of tweets about Elizabeth Warren. Also, picking a racist fight with her, continuing to call her Pocahontas,
right.
And then actually saying that she's a racist. I'm like, really? Liz Warren is racist? I may not agree with everything Liz Warren does, but that's not on my list at all.
Oh, right. And then the other thing was is that, you know, Newt Gingrich is slowly moving towards the top of the list.
Right.
Of VPs. And it's just like, Moonbase Alpha Gingrich. Absolutely. Let's bring this guy back one more time. Because that's all it's going to be, right? Is, you know, Gingrich is back. Cue the fucking SNL tape.
Maybe it's because they have a marital history in common. They've had infidelities and marriages at about the same rate, right?
Yeah, sadly true.
But, oh my God.
Well, you know, again, you got to come up with a grown up in the room, right, to counterbalance Trump, you know. And unlike Bush and Cheney, where Cheney really was an adult in the room. Not a good one, but he was the adult in the room. You got Gingrich?
Right. Well, and
every day he doesn't raise money, and every day she does. And it just, I can't wait. They haven't announced, the Clinton campaign got right out in front with their numbers for this month because they're really proud of them. But, of course, the Trump campaign is not, and they don't have to report for another week or so. So I can't wait to see the actual numbers. Because he said, yeah, I raised $11 million yesterday. I'm kind of thinking maybe you didn't, sir.
I think that might be somewhere with the money that he was going to donate to all of those charities, right?
Oh, shit. And by the way, let's talk about that for just a second, because we're going to just pile on for another few minutes here.
Sure, because I actually have a great segue to our next segment. So
the guy promised that money was going to be going to these charities, and then he kept it.
And not then, only that, but didn't he use part of it to purchase Tim Tebow souvenirs?
Probably.
I mean, I read that he at least purchased a helmet, a Tim Tebow helmet, and he used some of his campaign funds to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he used the money that was donated for veterans to do that, but yeah.
Yeah. You know, so you rock on, Mr. Trump.
Well, so this is kind of the segue to Brexit, which is that he just completely failed.
Yeah, let's talk about his other stupid statement.
Right. I mean, so here we have this world-shaking event in England, or in the UK, rather. And his response is to the Scottish, who voted, I want to say they voted like 75%, I've got the number written down somewhere, to stay in.
It was about 70 to 75%, yeah.
And, you know, he says, way to go. Good for you for taking back your country. And I have to say that the Scotch, God bless the Scots, their response was amazing.
But I want to break that down for just a second. That somehow being part of the EU forced the United Kingdom to give up their independence. Somehow they were right. No longer an independent country. And by the way, Scotland, of course, is not an independent country, being part of the United Kingdom.
Although that may change thanks to the Donald and his ilk.
It'd be interesting to see. But yeah, just the fact that right out of the gate, it's like, I'm here to talk about my golf course. And you people are all great because you took back your country. Now come play on my golf course.
Right.
And by the way, anybody who really wants to understand Trump's golf course in Scotland, you really need to go check out Real Sports on HBO.
That was an awesome clip.
Oh, my God. Oh, and then the other thing, of course, that's happening this week, sorry, bouncing back, is that the workers are on strike at the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City.
Oh, really? Is it a wage thing? I would assume it's a wage
healthcare.
Thing. Oh, but now, he's got healthcare taken care of. It's going to be big. It's going to be fabulous.
Fabulous, yeah. Now, in fairness to him, he no longer owns the Trump Taj Mahal, but because his name's still on it, everybody's forgotten that he doesn't own it.
Right.
So. Oh, and then 9 hours ago, Ivanka Trump said that her father is a feminist.
Are you really kidding me?
I'm not kidding. Time magazine has it right here. And again, to quote The Princess Bride, I don't think that word means what you think it does.
Exactly. We're going to have to create a whole new segment just for that.
Just cut that in, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So anyway, so yeah, let's talk about Brexit, right? Or as they put it, the worst case of self-harm ever inflicted on a country by itself.
Before we go to the UK completely, I would just like to encourage people to also look at Samantha Bee's segment where she has David Tennant reading the responses of several Scots to Donald Trump, because cockwomble is my new favorite word.
Say it again.
Cockwomble. Followed closely by cocksplat.
Cocksplat. I'd be going to be able to do that with a Scottish accent.
I was going to say thank you to the Scottish people. Well, David Tennant does it beautifully in his own native Scottish accent, so I would heartily recommend that people take a look for that.
Cocksplat.
So now let's go to the UK, because holy crap. I mean, they just basically drove a bus over the entire world economy.
It was way bigger than a bus.
Semi?
Oh my God. What was
a
it? Fleet
of semis.
$3 trillion? $3 trillion, right?
There was a $3 trillion loss worldwide. And get this, the British pound sank to its lowest value in 31 years.
Yeah, since 1981 or some yeah. shit like that.
Yeah.
On top of that, the British banks, which British banking is still the dominant bankers in the world, but their big banks all took huge stock hit. It was all great to watch somebody just completely shit themselves.
Well, the other thing that we talked about, too, is that they were downgraded by several credit agencies. Standard & Poor's, right?
Yeah.
And who else? There were at least two other agencies that gave them downgradings.
Of course, at some point we'll have to do a podcast about
what
rating,
that means, right?
About the rating agencies and how corrupt they really are.
But, you know, it does have an impact on the value of the British pound, the value of British stocks. I mean, all of those things become significant.
And it wasn't just British stocks, right? I mean, across the board.
Yeah.
The market went down across the board.
And I actually do think that we talk a little bit about that in Glass-Steagall, the episode that I'm going to send to you tonight, so you can post it maybe after this one, maybe before this one. Anyway,
we gotta do more economic stuff.
You're going to drag me kicking and screaming into the world of economics.
All that matters.
So, you know, the other thing that's really significant about Brexit is it's really increased the level of racism in the country. So they've seen a significant surge in hate crimes since the Brexit vote. The French National Front, which is one of their extreme right parties, like it's kind of like a neo-Nazi party, was celebrating it. There's a similar party I'm not going to pull it up. It's one of the Northern European countries. I don't have it written down, so I can't remember which one. But their far right group was also celebrating the Brexit, and the racism that's gone along with it.
Right.
There's actually a hashtag post-Brexit racism that just goes over several different accounts that people have given, and people are posting their own accounts with this hashtag of the treatment that they've received since the vote.
Well, let's be honest, right? The Brexit vote was completely about stopping brown people from coming to England.
Right.
That's entirely what it was. And in order to do that, they completely fucked themselves, blew up their own economy. And, oh, by the way, if you want to trade with the European Union, you're still going to have to keep your borders open to brown people.
Well, and what's really terrifying is that there are people, I mean, I saw an interview with a lady today when I was looking up information about this, who, she's brown, I can't honestly remember what culture she's from, but she has two children. One child was born in their country of origin, and one child was born in England, and both of the children are saying, what's going to happen to us, Mom? Where are we going to have to go? And she has said to them, at this point, everything is uncertain.
Right.
So you basically have a significant portion of a nation saying to their families, at this point, everything's uncertain.
Absolutely.
And that is horrifying.
Yep.
And I also see it as a predictor of what we're facing if Clinton doesn't win.
Well, yeah, it's time for us to stop the insanity here as well.
Yeah.
And you'll note the UK is actually scrambling to get themselves out of what was a complete total fuck up. Because here's one of the things too that, like, again, people don't necessarily seem to understand. The United Kingdom has a GDP of 2.8 billion? Well, no, I'm sorry. I'm saying that wrong. Okay.
You have to help those of us who are being pulled into 21st century economics and explain yourself a little better.
Well, all right. The gross domestic product is the market value of all final goods and services from a nation in a given year. Countries are sorted by nominal GDP estimates from financial and statistical institutions, which are calculated at market or government official exchange rates. Snoozerama. Here's the thing, right? The U.S. is the world's largest economy with a GDP of about $17.9 trillion. The U.K. is ranked number five at $2.8 trillion. However, the truth of the matter is that an awful lot of that is because they're a member of the
EU.
The EU.
Yeah. You know what's super funny? I know you're not a big fan of Bill Maher, and we can talk about that offline, but he actually said on his show in his closing segment this week, he was going on about how great California's economy is. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And he said, hey, thanks, Britain. We're probably going to end up having the fifth largest GDP in the world. Thanks, Britain.
Yeah, because, I mean, here's the thing, right? This is kind of where I'm going. The GDP of California is actually about $1.9 trillion, which actually would put us between India and Italy, right? We would be number 8 between India and Italy. But we only have that GDP because we are a member, we are part of the United States.
Right.
You know?
So this kind of goes to why you want to continue to be a member of the EU.
Yes, exactly, right? By the way, Texas, who claims that the Texas exit guys...
The Texits.
The Texits, right? They claim that they have a $6 trillion economy. No, you have a $1.4 trillion economy. Just, and by the way, that would put you between South Korea and Canada. But understand that if you leave the United States, your GDP will plummet to the point where you'll be somewhere between the Sudan and Sri Lanka.
Well, so let's talk about what they're calling regrexit. Regrexit? I don't know. I'm kind of struggling with that. People are making up a lot of great words that are based on Brexit.
First morning after Googling, right, right. According to John Oliver.
Right.
What is it?
7% of people who voted to leave the day after were saying, we kind of screwed up. Can we have a do-over?
Yeah.
So if you stop and think that it was 52% leave and 48% stay, if 7% of leave had voted the other way, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But instead, those were the people who were frantically Googling, how do I move to Canada and what's the EU and what does it mean to be a member of the EU?
As John Oliver put it, right? What is a swastika and how do I remove a tattoo?
So, you know, I mean, here's the thing. I've seen several of these people as well in the media who are whining, oh, if I had complete information, or I feel like I've been played. And I, you know, my response is groovy. So they made some promises that they're not going to keep now. Go figure. But you know what? I'm thinking the information was probably out there. I'm not going to say I was...
You could have Googled it the day before.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying that I have hugely followed the vote in Britain, whether to leave or remain.
But we're not in Britain.
Right. And the other thing is, I'm not going to make a big vote like that without, maybe doing a little research, because I don't want to have regrexit the next morning. It's amazing to me that 7% of...
No, let's talk about what's really amazing. Right? Is that this is all because of Cameron, right? Cameron is the one who allowed this fucking nonsense to happen.
So I didn't know that, and I was actually reading today that he is the person who proposed that they have a straight up and down vote, leave or stay.
Right.
So you're right. I mean, David Cameron, who now has resigned as a result of this election,
right,
is the person who said, well, let's just vote on it, thinking that they would vote to remain.
Right. So for political points, he just put his country in a massive jeopardy. And I'd just like to say to the UK, you guys are still sticking with the Tories? After that shit, you're still sticking with the Tory party?
Well, but here's an interesting thing. So
Labor sucks.
Right. I mean, I was doing some reading about Labor, the Labor Party today, and they're looking now to try to oust their leader, Jeremy Corbyn. And the quote was, he didn't fight hard enough for the Remain side. And they're saying that he can't possibly win in the next general election. And, you know, he's already faced and failed a no confidence vote within his party. So they're looking to oust their leader. So you've got Labour and the Tories, the Conservative Party, who are struggling to pick themselves up after this. And right. What do you have? You've got radical right-wing fringe taking over. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. And it's crazy that people say it's not a big deal. I mean, I actually got into yet another one of those Facebook arguments that I didn't want to be part of.
Need to stop doing.
I know. But this, you know, a friend, once again, responding to a friend who had beliefs similar to mine and saying, you know, this is just horrible. This, you know, what happened to the economy as a result is just horrible. And this guy jumps into the conversation and, you know, first of all, accuses me of not being a good progressive again.
What the fuck?
I know, it's crazy. And then also, like, proceeds to tell me how wrong I am, and it's not a vote about racism, and he actually supports, he's in Britain, he actually supports the vote to leave and voted leave. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? You're not making any sense. And then I said, you know, I said that, and he said, well, this money is all fake. It's all just some construct. It's not even real. It's real to people like Donald Trump, but it's not real to people like you and me. And I'm like, you know, why don't you say that to somebody who's sleeping over a heating grate tonight? Or why don't you say that to somebody who couldn't feed their kids tonight? Fuck that. We're all playing by the same rules, right? You and I have had this conversation.
We're all playing in the same reality.
Right. So whether or not you believe that money is real when somebody gives you a piece of paper, or whether or not you're like, yeah, it's the Monopoly money that we're playing with this week and we all have it.
Right. Because the problem is if $3 trillion disappeared out of the economy as a result of this. Yes, I understand exactly what you're saying. That this is all on paper and everything. But the thing is that somebody took a loss.
Right.
And because somebody took a loss, they're not going to invest money. In fact, they may decide that they need to hedge. And by hedging, they may need to decide that they need to close down some companies that they own that are not as profitable as they want them to be, or whatever. And it all trickles down. And, you know, this is the thing with the Republican supply side trickle down economics. It does trickle down, but it's only the shit that does.
Amen, brother. That's exactly what I was trying to, the point that I was trying to make to this guy.
But, yeah. Yes, of course it's not real money, but of course that doesn't matter either.
Yeah.
You know, because...
because the Donald Trumps of the world don't have real money either, but they have the monopoly money that makes a difference.
Right, and we'll do a podcast about money at some point, man, because it's really fascinating, right, the concept of money.
Right. Okay, but next time we're doing Hillbilly Heroine.
Right, which, by the way, could be, you know, money.
Yeah, truly, right. It is money. It's all economics when we talk about it, so. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Diane wanted to do some liberal progressive nonsensical fucking podcast, right?
But, you know, I'm not a good...
better place, and now it's a freaking
economics
podcast.
It's because I'm not a good progressive.
I don't even know.
Because there are much,
means.
Much better, holier than thou progressives out there. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We'll also someday have a conversation about how to be the most cynical progressives ever.
Because I think that would be us, right?
We're not even close.
So.
But yeah, I mean, here's the thing, right? I mean, this is amazing, actually. I mean, you know, Wikipedia, it rocks. But you're just looking at the world economies, right? The GDPs of all the countries, right? And so not only is the UK $2.8 trillion, right? But that's added into the EU, basically, right? So the EU at 17, without Britain, is going to be $14 trillion, right? Still going to put them ahead of China, but not nearly as ahead of China as they were, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And, you know, and they act, people acting like it doesn't matter. They're nuts. Of course it matters. You just shook up the whole world economic system. Or, you know, as I pointed out to my mother, who is in her 70s and therefore old enough to have been alive when the sun never did set onto the British Empire. And in 75 years, you went from the sun never sets on the British Empire to goodbye.
Yeah.
You dumb fucks.
Well, and so another thing that I want to say, and you kind of are leading to this, is that as a result of this, we could be looking at some really significant changes in the map of Britain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Scots are talking about having another referendum on separating from the UK.
Northern... In an effort to try to get in. They want to go separate so they can get into the EU.
Right, and... they voted, I've got the numbers now, they voted 62 to 38 remain So 62% of their country, or at least their voting populace,
right,
is like, yeah, Britain was wrong. The other thing is Northern Ireland, which they only voted 56% to remain, but it was still a majority. They're now trying to figure out a way to remain in the EU under special status.
Right.
So, yeah, and, you know, there was another article that I saw that mentioned Wales, but didn't go into where Wales stood on this. So, you know, we could potentially be seeing the breakup of the United Kingdom.
Right.
You're looking up Wales, aren't you?
No, I'm looking up the GDP of Northern Ireland.
Oh, I was going to say, you're such a good man.
Which is... Oh, great. You gave it to me in pounds. That didn't help.
You need to now find a pounds converter on your...
Yeah. Margaritas are preventing that operation from occurring. You know?
So, but the bottom line is that, you know, both of those countries? I'm not even sure what to call them. They're not states, they're countries, but that's a horrible thing to say.
They are country. No, they are. Scotland and Northern Ireland are countries that are part of just like Wales and whatever else is in the United Kingdom. They're all actually countries.
But, you know, those are two countries that make up part of that GDP that puts Britain currently in fifth place. And if they go away, boy, the sun doesn't just set. The sun never rises again.
Yeah. I mean, this is an amazing fuck up.
Yeah.
Right? This is a fuck up of monumental proportions. Unfortunately, it has real consequences, right?
Yes,
because
it
is really going to hurt the people of Great Britain. It's really going to hurt them, right? The economy is going to have problems for years. And that shit's going to trickle through the entire world economy, because it already has, which then has a problem for all of us.
And maybe that's the take home, and maybe that's even the unintentional theme of this episode, is that your vote has consequences. You know, whether you're voting against Donald Trump in the United States, or whether you're voting to remain in the EU, your vote has consequences.
And if you're voting because you want to keep brown people out, fuck you.
Amen. I agree with that completely. And if you're one of those people who's taking both of these things as opportunities to let your inner racist out, fuck you.
Fuck you. Oh.
Well, where do you want to go what from else? Here?
Oh, there was something else about Trump, but it slipped my mind. So I think, you know, we've kind of covered it. We would like Donald Trump to continue doing what he's doing.
Right.
The end result of that is starting to look pretty goddamn good as far as we're concerned.
And we'd like Bill Clinton to cease and desist what he is doing.
Dude, get the fuck out, right?
Yeah. Go cuddle your grandbaby, your new grandbaby. Be a grandpa. Get off the campaign trail. Jesus Christ.
Go find a national disaster to raise money from. Man.
Right.
You know, fuck. Anything. You know?
Anything but appearing on the television in any way, shape, or form.
You know, part of the problem, though, right, is that a vast amount of her popularity is actually only because of his popularity. She is wholly unlikable, right? And he is not.
I don't know how people still like him. I don't, but I see what you're getting at.
Sucks, don't it?
Yeah. You know, and I was certainly, I'm looking back at the early 90s and I'm thinking I was definitely not intelligent about politics at all at that point, and I was very much a Clinton supporter, and now I look back and I'm a little horrified, but
what were your choice?
Right. Right.
George
H.W. Bush. Yeah, no.
Right. Bush wanted, pushed us into a small but significant recession. Right?
I can't even remember who Clinton ran against in his second election.
Bob Dole.
Oh, God. Who now is supporting Donald Trump?
Bob Dole says, Bob Dole's voting for Donald Trump. See how old you are. If you know what exactly what I'm talking about, yeah, you're our age or older.
That's funny.
That's the thing, right? Is that, he wasn't a great president, but he wasn't bad. And, here's the thing was that whatever else we want to say one way or the other, the economy was strong under him.
It was.
I know people would make an argument that, the cycle doesn't necessarily correspond. Yeah, we all make that one, especially when we're trying to prove that we like a guy or we don't like a guy. But, we did talk about it in Glass-Steagall. It is the Clinton administration that fucked us on the derivatives that led to the housing market meltdown.
Because once again, we are actually about holding people's feet to the fire regardless of what party they're in.
Right, and that was...
it's just a hell of a lot easier to hold Donald Trump's feet to the fire right now.
Well, because we're not trying... The thing is that we can point out the problem in the past, but we can't do anything about it. But the future hasn't happened yet, so we could still stop Trump from becoming president and fucking us. But I did just watch The Big Short last night.
Oh, how was it?
Absolutely amazed at how well they did that movie.
Oh, good. Very good.
Because
I have this virtual pile on my Kindle that is shocking, and it is in the virtual pile.
It's an amazing book. I read it years ago when it first came out. It is amazing. And this is why, and it is, one of the reasons I get all very angry about all of this shit. That was the thing watching The Big Short last night, right? Get done. Very angry.
You gotta just not give a fuck.
Well.
You know I'm teasing you.
There's the big not giving a fuck, and there's little not giving a fuck. I'm recommending the little not giving the fuck.
There's the personal not give a fuck, and then there's the global not give a fuck.
Right. And I think we're still in the global giving a fuck business.
Yeah. And some of us are a little more invested in the personal giving a fuck business, too, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know. This is why we love you, but, it
creates more pain.
Yeah. It is what harms you.
Well, so do you have anybody for Fuck That Guy aside from this entire episode, or do you have anybody for the Hall of Honorable Mention?
Serious Fuck That Guy goes to Boris Johnson, who has in fact been fucked.
Yeah,
over in Britain. He was basically, all of this was a manipulation to try to elevate himself to the point where he was going to become the prime minister. And that has now failed because his own party has turned against him because, holy shit, this was a fucking stupid idea.
And he has actually withdrawn his name for consideration, I believe.
Yes, that is correct.
And by the way, he does look frighteningly like Donald Trump, just a slightly more normal complexion.
Also, he got his start, apparently, as a journalist writing negative articles about the EU.
Oh, really? Now that's interesting.
Where apparently he made shit up.
Really?
Yeah. Like, surprise.
Like apparently some of the promises that the...
Yeah, the 300... What was it, the 389 million that goes every day?
Which, so that guy, the person who actually made that up, because I looked him up, of course I have to find it now, his name is Nigel Farage. He's also a leader in the uber-right movement. He was on morning television in Britain the day after the vote.
And they asked him.
Yeah, because he said, before the vote, he said, well, when we get out of the EU, we have like 356 million pounds daily going to the EU, and we'll put it back into the National Health Service. So the commentator on television actually asked him, so, now what happens with that money? Are you going to keep your promise? And he said, well, I never said that. And the other thing that is significant is that actually the amount of money that leaves the UK to the EU on a daily basis is about one third of what he said. Well, about one half of what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you know? Fucking politicians lie.
Yeah. Yeah, that gets a pants on fire, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. Not just Boris Johnson, but Nigel Farage both should get honest, legitimate fuck that guys. I have kind of a scary, not really fuck that guy, but fuck me kind of moment. I don't know if you saw the stuff on the mainstream media this morning about Florida, but apparently they're having a huge bloom on their beaches of toxic algae.
Right.
And I mean, when you look at the pictures, the aerial pictures, it basically looks like there's this neon green glow surrounding the beaches in South Florida. And it sounds like the environmentalists are relating a number of human chronic health problems to this algae, which I just think is really scary.
Absolutely.
You know, so here we go again. We started with global warming, we're ending with toxic algae beaches.
My only question is, does it do something about the alligator problem?
Potentially it could.
Yeah, I suppose.
But when you think about the number of people who get cancer every year as compared to the number of people who get eaten by alligators every year.
Oh my god, you mean alligator attacks aren't all that common?
You know, what did we say? It's kind of like dying from a terrorist attack. I think you're probably more likely to die from an alligator attack, but not that much.
In fact, let me look that up.
You know, we need to get an assistant. We need to get somebody who can be looking this stuff up while we're talking.
Yeah, well.
So, non-paid position for this conversation rocks.
Yeah, so what is the risk of an alligator attack? I mean, first of all, you have to be someplace that has alligators.
Right.
Right. Well, cows kill more people than alligators every year.
So you're actually more likely to be killed by your beefsteak.
Yeah. All right. And of course,
don't worry. I'm sure that actually that toxic algae could probably kill off plenty of cows as well.
Right. So anyway, there you have it. You're far more likely to die from a cow than you are from an alligator.
Well, and so I do also have a Hall of Honorable mention and then a Neil Gaiman quote. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we lost Elie Wiesel on Saturday.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know who he is, and I would imagine there are very few, especially very few of our listeners, he was imprisoned in Auschwitz when he was a teenager with his family, and he went on to become a great speaker, a great philosopher. He told his story in a book called Night. And he has been just an icon for human rights and dignity for the last 70 plus years. So it's a huge loss. And I just wanted to share a quote from him. He said, "If we forget, we are guilty. We are accomplices. We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. Sometimes we must interfere. When human lives are endangered, when human dignity is in jeopardy, national borders and sensitivities become irrelevant. Whether men or women are persecuted because of their race, wherever men or women are persecuted because of their race, religion, or political views, that place must, at the moment, become the center of the universe."
Way smarter than I am.
Yeah, so America and the United Kingdom, you guys are the center of the universe right now. So why don't you act like you actually have done some evolving, as Neil deGrasse Tyson would say, you know?
Yep.
I do want to end on a slightly happier note. So I was looking for something at least somewhat cheery from Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
And this is an entry from his personal journal, which has been shared. And it says, "The world always seems brighter when you've just made something that wasn't there before." So I just want to say to our listeners and to you, having the opportunity to do this and to speak our truth, however crazy it may be, the world always seems a little bit brighter when we get done. For me.
Most of the time for me, too. Absolutely.
Yep.
So, all right.
All right. And so be safe this 4th of July.
Yes. Let's talk about being safe on the 4th of July. All right. couple of things that we would like to point out.
This is a public service announcement from This Conversation Rocks. This
Rocks.
And Wile E. Coyote.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, first and foremost, all fireworks are an Acme Dynamite patch.
Right.
I mean, we'll start with that. So you're a nurse. You've been in this system for a long time. Obviously, you're not doing ER these days or anything. But I'm sure that you, over the years, you worked ER during the 4th of July. How was that?
Oh, well, you know, so the interesting thing is, I'm going to tell you honestly that I never really saw any horrific fireworks injuries. But you have to understand that the place where I predominantly spent my emergency room career is the epicenter of the crazy mountain running community. And when I say crazy mountain running, I'm not talking about the people who do ultra runs, which are like 100-mile runs. I'm talking about people who think they need to run up a mountain, like, and slide down it in shale. So I actually spent a lot of my time picking shale out of people's butts and waiting for them to be scanned in the CT to make sure that they did or did not have a head injury, which warranted a medevac.
Holy shit, we should have a whole PSA just of this.
So my 4th of July picture is pretty skewed, but now I also live in an area that was devastated by a fire, which was potentially started by fireworks last year.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about our personal fire. I'm talking about one that happened
two weeks
after our fire, and many people lost their homes, and there are many people who still have not been able to rebuild. Yeah. So yeah, and fireworks suck.
Yeah, and down here in Southern California, yes, they are legal in some cities here. Unfortunately, because the cities make a lot of revenue off of the taxes that they get from the sale of the fireworks, they're not legal here in Los Angeles. Not that that seems to stop anybody. But
right, because people can just drive up to that little roadside stand, which is what happens here, and then haul them away to wherever they want.
But we are in the worst drought we've had in 25 years. You know, so, you know, what could go wrong, right? Okay, and then speaking of what can go wrong, if you're the guy who puts the Roman candle in his pants, like he's got the big swinging sparkly dick.
Honest to God, this is on Facebook. It is a real person.
Yeah. And then it blows up in your face. We got no sympathy for you.
Right.
If you are the guy who thinks, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to strap one of these mortars onto my head and light it off, and the concussion kills you, we got no sympathy for you.
Right.
Same thing if you decide, hey, I'm going to lay down and I'm going to put one of these mortars on my chest, and the concussion basically stops your heart. I've got no sympathy for you. So don't fucking kill yourself. Don't burn anything down, and don't kill somebody else.
No shit. Happy 4th of July.
Yeah. And seriously, think about whether or not you really need to go out and blow off a bunch of fireworks.
Oh my God. Yes.
Although, of course, by the time this comes out, it'll be too late, but maybe next year.
That's okay. Yeah, we'll help people think about next year.
I can't wait to see the death toll on Tuesday.
No shit.
Because again, if you strap something onto your head, one of these mortars onto your head, and light it off, well, that's just evolution.
I don't have a problem with that.
Nobody I know does. Beauty of it.
All right. Well, on that note, with our first time in a long time serious public service announcement, don't get blown up.
Don't get blown up, man.
Have a great 4th of July.
Yay!